everyone, and welcome to Minute 123 of Season 3 of Movie Rob Minute, the daily podcast where we yippee-ki-yay our way through the 1980 Bruce Willis action flick Die Hard, one minute at a time. I'm Rob, and joining me today is Jeanette Ward of the Mundane Adventures of a Fangirl. Welcome back to the show, Jeanette.
Hello! What a joy, what a treat, what an absolute delight. So excited to be here.
Happy trails! I hope that's not a hostage. Didn't you tell me that once that this is your mother's favorite scene of the movie?
I did, in fact, yes. And that, let me, in fact, the text that I received when I said, did you want to come on this podcast? She just sent back some thoughts on the scene. So, yes, she is an Alan Rickman fan. Alan Rickman, her favorite actor. So this is her favorite.
That's all she wants to say? Come on.
Well, I have other thoughts, but we haven't gotten to that scene.
No,
yet.
I said that's all she wants to say.
Yeah.
No, she has another thing. Okay.
They're about that scene.
Oh, okay.
What I would say is
that today's scene or tomorrow's?
Today's.
It's today's. You want to call her and see if she wants to talk about it? Put her on the spot. Tell her. Don't tell her she's on Skype. No, I'm just kidding.
I don't know how that would go over.
I don't think so. I don't want you to get in trouble right before the holidays.
You know? That's a good point.
Jeanette, yeah, no. Well, actually, you're going away to the Caribbean, so you know I don't think you're going to need to worry about not being invited over to your parents' house. You know.
Hilarious.
And, you know, not Huey Lewis won't be there, so you're good with that, too.
Right? He's already, that's it. No more Huey Lewis.
We get to see him for a fraction of a second here today. You know, so the minute 123 begins with Eddie, a.k.a. non-Huey Lewis, flying backwards through the air. You know, so he does a reverse Superman and ends with Holly hugging John very tightly. Mm-hmm. So yesterday we ended things with John, you know, taking matters in the OK Corral all by himself and, you know, shooting Hans in the chest and turning non-Huey Lewis into a triclops. I just love saying that. It's just fun, you know.
Opening his third eye to the possibilities of the world.
There you go. Hey, that's great. I like that. That's good. And so the minute begins with basically, you know, non-Huey Lewis probably having, you know, some sort of wire attached to a vest on him or whatever that jerks him backwards because he really goes flying right at the beginning there.
It's an aggressive fall.
Yes. Well, yeah. He like falls back. Well, he's also closer to John. So that, I guess that's sort of makes sense also.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
And then
the force of the impact.
Yeah. Yeah. That's right. And then first of all, I love that you can see the tape is still on the gun itself, you know, and then John lifts up the gun. That's right. Lifts up the gun to his lips and blows smoke.
Yeah.
And then turns towards where Hans was and says, "Happy trails, Hans."
Because he cannot resist the opportunity to quip. He takes just a moment to be proud of himself and go ahead and throw in a quip. And it's great. Happy trails, Hans.
you think that's in the script?
Is it?
I'm asking you. We'll find out at the end of today's minute.
I'd be perfectly happy if it wasn't, but also I'm perfectly happy if it was. It is the perfect quip at this moment. Not too much, not too little. Totally in line with the character. Appropriate, not cringy. I like it.
Yeah, it works. There's definitely. And you know, we get a shot of Hans who starts staggering backwards. You know, still holding on to Holly.
Yes, that's the problem. Wrist,
you know, and we get to see, you know, the blood on the window behind him, along with a hole. You know, which I didn't check it, but I hope that they got the triangulation properly. You know, the geometry right of, you know, where the bullet would have gone through him if John shot, and then, you know, where it would have exited, and then, you know, we need Kevin Costner from JFK to
back
come in.
Into the lift.
Where's Jim Garrison? There you go. Back into the lift.
Into the lift. I, honestly, everything else is done so well in this movie, I'm going to assume that they did that properly as too.
Yeah. But, you know, you never know. And there's no magic bullet here because there's only two bullets.
No, exactly. That's right. We know exactly where both of them went.
That's right. For sure. And then, you know, we see Hans continuing to stagger backwards and crashes.
I like that Hans is so surprised at what has happened that he is just, he's trying to register, like, how?
He's flabbergasted.
First of all, how dare you? How dare you shoot me? Secondly, oh, and it's not just, and it's again calling back to, like, Alan Rickman. Does anyone die better than Alan Rickman? No. No. The stumbling, the flailing.
Well, this is the first time that anyone got to see him die on screen.
This is
because
the first time you see it, but then from this point forward, he simply elevates from here.
Yes.
So, spectacular.
Yeah, for sure. And we see him stagger backwards and crashes through the window that was slightly shattered. I think far too simply. Mm. You know, and then
it
he...
Does. Well, we have to assume that that bullet really, and this is a building that is suffering a huge explosion. Fire at the top, explosion at the top, explosion at the bottom. So the glass is already under quite a bit of duress, and then he gets a bullet through it. So even if Hans just gets a little bit close and yells at the window, it's going to shatter. So,
yeah, probably. Know. That's true. And then he falls out of the window, still holding on to Holly. And then,
in the most perfect example of this movie not wasting anything, that the scene at the beginning of the movie about the watch, which first of all can be taken as character development for Ellis, but secondly pays off here in the most perfect way anything has ever paid off ever.
Yeah, it's just great. You know, Chekhov's watch. Or Mrs. Chekhov's watch, or Ms. Chekhov's watch, because she's
it's a Rolex. You know.
Exactly.
What are you embarrassed? It's a Rolex, is it? Shut up, guy. That dude is the worst.
Yeah, and then we get an exterior shot of someone hanging out of the building. You know, oh,
just spectacular stuff.
And then they we see John trying to hold him. You know, trying to hold Holly from falling, and he's first playing with the watch. Mm-hmm. You know, he's not really sure about it. But beforehand, we get a like a for I think it's just like a second or two, we see Powell and Robinson looking up and actually seeing, you know, the Hans and Holly hanging there. Now, I don't know if you've ever been near skyscrapers or anything like that, but do you really think that they can see up 30 floors?
I've been at this building. I've stood in the courtyard of this building and looked up. And, and you can see
and
up there.
No,
if someone was hanging out the end of it, yeah.
You would see someone hanging out the end of it 30 floors up? I don't know about that.
I think you would. Especially the way this... And again, this...
With the amount of noise that's going on around here? I don't know.
Speaking exclusively, like, just, well, okay... In the setup of this movie, you've got a bunch of people. They know something is still happening on the inside, so they are trained to. They are trained on the building, and they're looking for something. So yes, absolutely, they would see it.
Uh-huh.
I think even in a standard situation, you would, because this building, the way it's set up, now it has other buildings around it. But at the time, there was no other buildings around it. It's the only building there, and
well, because they were only in the middle of construction.
Yeah. So I think for sure you would. But again, just the craftsmanship of this movie, the fact that. Having that happen up top and having what's happening in the courtyard and the plaza below, it just to reiterate the spatial awareness, the audience's spatial awareness of the story of this movie, I think is wonderful. It really pays off.
For sure. And we see John continue to fidget with Holly's watch in order to try and free her from Hans. You know, the
it's
music.
A
yes, it was. The music gets really, really tense.
The score of this movie.
You know, now what I find really funny is John is trying to get the watch off. It's like, you know, it's just really funny the way that he's just fidgeting with it and stuff like that. It makes
fumbling
you,
with it. Yeah.
You know,
That is
And
one of the things that my mother texted me.
that what?
The watch. She her favorite things about this. And we haven't, because I feel like there's so much to say about Rickman's performance in this, crashing through the window, falling, and hanging onto the watch. His face and expression as he is trying to hold onto the watch, and watching Bruce attempt to futz with it. So he, Hans's realization, like, this watch, if this watch lets go, I'm in trouble. And that selling of that moment, and the fact that, you know, it's a Rolex, and so struggling with the release. What a testament to the quality of a Rolex watch that it is difficult to get it undone. Like,
It makes it feel like, you know, like he's trying to get a bra open or something like that. You know, there's the trying to get a snap,
is not, it
trying to
is a
hook.
complicated process.
Apparently. And
For sure.
then Hans looks up at John and starts to raise the gun towards him, right? And then we hear a scream from Holly. She's still screaming her head off.
She's going, it's some high quality Kate Capshaw-esque screaming, which is really well done.
Wait, from Space Camp? Oh, I'm just kidding.
Ironically, really, the only time she's screamy is Temple of Doom. I don't know that she's that screamy anywhere else, thank God, because that was excessive.
Yeah,
But
Spielberg doesn't let her scream.
to talk about the slow-mo, the use of slow-mo. There's a lot of times that slow motion can be overused in movies, especially action movies. This is a justified use of it. It makes sense and it's not overdone, and it really enhances the tension of the scene.
For
Because
sure.
the pacing of Hans bringing that gun up, where he realizes, oh God, if that watch lets go, I'm out of here. I'll just bring this gun up.
And shoot
Epic
him, and
sense of
therefore
humor.
I'm gonna, then I will fall for sure. It's
Yeah, like bringing the gun up isn't going to help you. Well, I
just gonna
suppose
take him with you.
it would stop him from fussing with the watch, so maybe he could recover and climb up. I don't know.
Maybe.
I'm not sure what his thought process is on bringing the gun up, but it's the dramatic tension of, boy, you better get that watch undone before he gets that gun up.
That's right. And then John ends up opening the clasp on the watch, and Hans basically just lets gravity take over. And we see the look on his face as he starts falling
And
down.
then, in my mother's other note, the look on his face as the fall, and I'm sure that you know, and watching the behind the scenes on this, the fact that they told
Wait,
Rowan
wait,
at the
wait, wait,
beginning.
wait. I'll read the IMDb trivia on this one. Okay. So
Well, then the other thing I want to say before we get there is the, well, that'll be after. All right, go ahead.
for the shot where Hans Gruber falls from the top of the building, Rickman was really dropped 40 feet onto an airbag with a blue screen. The background was later edited in. A stuntman held Rickman up with a rope. Mirroring Rickman's line repeated twice in the movie, the stunt crew was to count to three before releasing. But to get a genuine reaction from Rickman, the stuntman released the rope on the count of two, not three. Rickman later said during a QA that the stunt was purposely done on his last day on set. So he does have a real look of fear on his face.
That look on his face is genuine, and it is the moment of this movie, and I don't think you could have gotten it any other way. He's a great actor, but I don't think you could have gotten it any other way. I
That's right.
love surprising him by letting him go early, because that moment is iconic, and the word iconic gets overused in describing movies, and I know that, but I think that it fits here more than it fits anywhere else.
Yeah, I would agree with you on that one. Now, one of the things that I always love about watching this scene of Hans falling is that on the Oscar telecast that year, this was the shot they used for the visual effects. Okay. Now, I mentioned earlier this week that this movie was nominated for four Oscars and it lost all four of them. Okay, but three of them it lost to the same movie.
And what was that movie?
That movie was Who Framed Roger Rabbit?
Well, all right.
Who Framed Roger Rabbit won Best Film Editing, Best Sound Effects Editing, and Best Visual Effects. Okay,
I
but
mean,
the
yeah.
visual effect that they showed here was Hans Gruber falling because this was one of the earliest uses of a green screen. You know,
And
where,
it holds up. It holds up. It still looks great.
it looks great because they have, you know, all the papers flying underneath him and stuff like that. They did that really well. But obviously, Who Framed Roger Rabbit, the interactions between, animation and humans
It's tough to argue
was a
with that. It
little,
is it's tough to argue with that, and I hear them. But it's sometimes you're like, but come on, man. It's that I still have a sore spot for the fact that Titanic beat out Starship Troopers for visual effects Oscar. You sunk a boat that sunk in real life. Whereas in Starship Troopers, they're fighting actual bugs. Like, come on, man. Come on, man. That's kind of how I feel about this one. But it's legitimate. This you're never going to take away from how good that fall looks. And also watching the if you have the DVD box set, in my box set, I mean, Die Hard 1, 2, and 3, the only real Die Hard movies. All right,
The trilogy. There's it's a
the trilogy.
trilogy with another movie, and then some little
Stuff
then
that
this other
happened.
crap that goes on, which I'm going to
But
have a lot of
in
fun when I eventually get to number five and decide what I'm going to do.
there, yeah. But talking
I
about
really
how they
can't see
tried
myself
it,
doing that minute by minute.
no. Where they tried it with a dummy, where you throw the dummy out the building and watch the dummy fall, and it just didn't work. It didn't work, and so they finally end up using a stuntman on a rig, and it sells that fall so much more because of the flailing, the actual flailing done during the fall. And then, of course, with the line, "Oh boy, hope that's not a hostage." Like the perfect line from an absolute dick of a character who has not wavered throughout the movie. Just the perfect way to, because the audience, while you're watching this, Hans Gruber has this way of like throughout the course of the movie, at no point are you on his side, but you are delighted by him because the performance is so good. This is a character who the best villains are ones who you, even if you don't empathize with, you are drawn in by. And Hans Gruber is the pinnacle of movie villainy because it's performed so perfectly, where you at no point do you doubt this character. You understand his convictions, you believe in his skill set, you know his strength. When he finally meets his end, he has been so villainous up to this point that the end feels justified. And as an audience member, you are looking forward to it. You can't believe it. He's finally getting it. And they build up the score, the performance, the perfect amount of slow motion, the perfect amount of stunt work, the set, everything combined to the point where the dramatic tension, like your whole heart, and then the look on his face, the genuine surprise as is being dropped. As an audience member, you are 100% invested in this moment.
Yes.
And when he begins to fall, to have that broken up by the absolute sublime performance of, ooh, I hope that's not a hostage. It is the perfect offset to that moment, and it provides, like, you don't realize how much on the edge of your seat you are with this moment
Especially after
until.
what we hear seconds after he makes the comment, I hope that's not a hostage. We actually hear the
The
thump or the
thud,
thud
yeah.
of the body.
It's just, again, the craftsmanship. I can't talk about it enough. It's just so well done.
Yeah, there's no question about that. And basically, we hear the thud of the body landing on the ground, and then we see Al and Robinson both actually looking away, somewhat in disgust from the fact
Yeah.
that this
Ugh.
body has
Thudded.
this body has thudded. That's correct. And then the shot goes back, and we see Holly. She's already been pulled up by John, and the two of them begin to hug tightly,
Even though
having
he's
this nice
covered in
reunion.
filth.
Okay, but she's married to him, so she's she was disgusted with him over the last 6 months, but something has changed that. I couldn't tell you what, but something has changed her
Thank you.
mind.
Yeah.
But okay, so you mentioned to me, I don't remember if you mentioned it on air or beforehand, that you had read the book at some point, of
Yeah,
this movie. Do
it's
you remember
years
what happens in
ago.
the end of the book or not?
I don't. It's been so
Okay.
long.
So
Whereas
in
this Die Hard I watch at least once a year, if not more. I read that book one time years ago, so I don't remember.
Okay, so the so in the book there is no Holly. The character is actually
Thank you.
visiting
Yes.
his daughter, Steffi Gennaro, okay? And she is actually pulled out of the window by the bad guy at the end.
That's right.
Okay, the bad guy's name is Little Tony Gruber, okay? And he pulls her out of the window, by her watch, and they're hanging by her. They're hanging by her watch, you know, the way they do. They're on the movie also, and the main character Joe Leland tries to save them, and she actually falls out the window with Gruber. Okay,
I do remember that, yeah.
yeah. So in the book, he wasn't able. The book is much more tragic than the movie itself, you know,
Well, and
because
if I remember
his
correctly,
daughter
aren't
dies
there
also.
then more, because it was the second book in the series, and then there aren't there more in which he then gets to carry that trauma through the rest of the story, I believe
Well,
that
apparently he's
character.
like crippled after this movie, after this book, after the story.
Yeah.
So I don't know
Very
if they made any more. There was an original one called The Detective, which was made into a movie with Frank Sinatra
Yeah, Frank
back in
Sinatra,
68.
which is why Sinatra had the first pick on
That's
Die
right.
Hard, deciding if he wanted to do it or not.
That's
Thank
right.
God he didn't.
Whether you wanted 70-something
Thank
year old
God.
Sinatra playing John McClane. Yeah, I can just imagine, you know, Sinatra walking around going, "Yippee-ki-yay, motherfucker." I don't know if that really would have worked.
No, I cannot imagine that.
It would be
Thank God I don't
funny,
have
you know, having to imagine that. But
Wouldn't be the
yeah.
same
Now,
movie.
apparently, this shot of John and Holly embracing needed to be shot numerous times, because Bruce Willis kept making Bonnie Bedelia laugh whenever they were doing.
Does not surprise me.
So, you have anything else you want to say about this movie before we get into the script?
It's coming back to watch. It's the best fall of any fall in movie history. I think it's really the best. Again, credit to that stunt guy. The payoff of a villain has to be good enough that you're engaged with it the whole story, and then the elimination of that villain has to match the build of the character throughout the movie. And I that this is the highest example of it. So
34 30 stories high.
there you go.
Okay,
Yep,
so the
that's all
script
I got in my
in
notes.
this minute is very descriptive, but there is more dialogue, or there's dialogue that's not in the movie. So basically it says Hans drops his weapon, staggers backwards, looks down at his own blood in shock. McClane says, "You're right about us Americans." He blows smoke from his pistol barrel. "We are cowboys." So I think Happy Charles works much better. No.
Not necessary.
Incredibly,
Yeah,
Hans
not
still
necessary.
stands, eyes filled with shock and disbelief. He reels, falls against the windowsill, starts to topple, and then he grits his teeth and, from some inward place, finds a last reserve of strength, and he grabs Holly's wrist, and she is yanked off her feet. Hans goes out the window, pulling Holly with him. McClane leaps forward, catches her inside arm near the elbow at the last minute. The roof still in flames. McClane hangs halfway out of the window, jagged glass raking his face, strained to hold onto Holly as Hans drags her out. McClane braces himself against the window frame and strains to pull Holly closer. With a moan, she catches the windowsill with her inside hand. McClane stretches with his other hand, begins to inch towards Holly's wristband. A death grip on the watch band. The shot widens, sees that blood-flecked teeth grinning from Hans's mouth. He is straining with his other hand to bring up the gun he is still holding. Holly screams to alert John. Hans locks eyes with McClane one last time, starts to pull the trigger as McClane releases the latch on the watch band. The overtaxed metal snaps, links flying. Hans's face registers his horror as he and most of the watch suddenly drop. We listen to the scream all the way down, finally hear him hit. McClane pulls Holly back into the room and holds her. "It's okay, babe. It's okay." He looks down at Hans's body, then back at the scrap of wristband he's still holding. "You got a warranty on this?" She laughs through her tears, holding on to him. So it's very
You know,
descriptive.
I
I
could
love the way.
honestly wouldn't have surprised me, yeah, if they had done a little bit something else about the watch. I don't mind that they didn't. I'm glad they didn't, but it would have felt appropriate had they said something else about it. So I don't mind that they didn't. I don't think it would have hurt it if they did. I'm
Right,
glad it
but
wasn't there.
both the happy trails, and I hope that's not a hostage, are not in the script. Yeah.
Interesting.
So every Wednesday, we have a segment called Hans Hump Day, where my guests will give their top five Alan Rickman performances. So, Jeanette, what have you got for us?
We reverse order,
Yep.
5-1. Here you go. I'm going to start on the bottom, number five, all the Harry Potter
You
movies.
got to choose
His
which. You got to
performance
choose
as
one.
Severus Snape. But it's
I
his
know,
performance, right? It's the best Alan
You
Rickman.
know, if we're going to rank the movies,
Then the final one, whichever one in which is the end of
Okay.
Severus Snape, because you
Deathly
realize that
Hallows
his,
2.
and again, it's the performance, yeah, that he gives, and honestly, probably the third one is my favorite. So Prisoner of
Well,
Azkaban
which
might
one do
be,
you want? You got to
but the
choose one.
realization that, okay, jeez, Prisoner of
Okay.
Azkaban. He's good in that role.
I
That's what I'm
understood.
trying to
No,
say.
he's great in the role of all of them. You know, that's not the point. But
Well,
if
it's a
we're gonna tally
layered
them up,
role
you know,
that
I need to have
it presents as a villain and then ends up being an ally. And really, that role takes such a layered performance that has to develop over 6 movies that, again, no one, maybe 7 movies, no one else
eight,
could do
but
it.
yeah.
So, oh,
7 books.
so many. Number 4 is Dogma from 1999. Honestly, these go reverse
Oh,
chronological.
okay. If that works.
Yeah, Dogma from 1999, the Kevin Smith movie. Because again, Rickman adds levity and exposition in a really
Okay.
wonderful way. Number 3, Galaxy Quest.
Also,
I probably don't
99.
even need to say anything more about that. I feel like everybody has probably had that on their list.
just
Spectacular.
about. There are a few people that didn't, but it's going to be very high on the ranking.
He's the heart and soul of that movie. Number 2, and honestly, could this flip with number 1? No. Number 2 is Robin Hood, Prince of Thieves.
Okay.
And again, when your lead, it tends to be a little smaller. As the villain, you can go bigger, but my God, he's so good in that movie, he makes you almost forget everyone else who is in it, with the exception of Michael Wincott, who has to do a lot of standing around being like, "Can you guys believe Alan Rickman right now?" He's just so good in that. It's worth going back and watching it again just to watch the whole "I'll cut your heart out with a spoon" bit is so good. The whole final sequence, and again, you want to talk about a death scene. That should be like, stabbed over. He draws out that death scene where he stumbles around the room, flails, pulls out the knife, looks at the knife, more flailing, more stumbling, shocked, disappointed, falls over, crawls, and then dies. My goodness, it's a whole lesson. And then number 1 is Die Hard, and I think that speaks for itself.
Yes,
So
it
there you go.
definitely does. All right, great. So you want to tell people once again how they can get in touch with Jeanette Ward?
Yeah, you can find me on my movie review website, the jwardadventures.blogspot.com. Be sure to check out my dance troupe at tamarindbellydance.com. You can also find us on YouTube if you want to see some videos of our performances. And if you're interested in taking some online classes, you can find that information on our website as well. And then you can find me on all the social medias, Instagram at j.y.ward.
All right, excellent. And while you're doing that, you can go rate, review, and subscribe on any podcast you might be listening to this show on. And finding me is very simple. Just do a quick search for Movie Rob Minute. You can find me on Twitter. You can find me on Facebook. And you can find me on my website, movierobminute.com. So until tomorrow, yippee-ki-yay.
Yippee-ki-yay.